deep as the deepest sea is my Savior's love. I, though so unworthy, still am a child of His care. For His word teaches me that His love reaches me everywhere. High above is God's heaven, far from a lonely abode. Still He bids all to come, leaning on Jesus alone. There to be forever, a mansion with brethren to share. Songs of joy will sing, praises of ringing everywhere. Chatter with the angels soon in the morning. Chatter with the angels in that land. Chatter with the angels soon in the morning. Chatter with the angels, join the band. I hope to join the band and chatter with the angels all day long. I hope to join the band and chatter with the angels all day long. Chatter with the angels, all praising Jesus. Chatter with the angels in that land. Chatter with the angels, all praising Jesus. Chatter with the angels, join the band. I hope to join the band and chatter with the angels all day long. I hope to join the band and chatter with the angels all day long. With the angels soon up in heaven, chatter with the angels in that land. Chatter with the angels on in heaven, chatter with the angels, join that band. I hope join that band and chatter with the angels all day long. I hope to join that band and chatter with the angels all day long.
Hey. All hands on deck.
Hey, man.
Yeah. That's a Navy fan. That's a Navy thing. And yeah, I was in a... Y'all see my new Air Force tie. I just got this Air Force tie. And I was in Pueblo, Colorado last week at a missions conference. And one of the men of the church, Brother Bliss is his name. He's a retired Navy man, 20-some years, 23, 24 years old. 23, 4 years in the Navy. And someone gave him two Air Force ties. He would not even wear them. He said, I'm Navy. So I took a picture with him last week. We went to the hen house to eat dinner or breakfast. And there I am with him and retired Navy man giving the Air Force a tie. You know, so anyways. Pastor, did you want me to show my video again tonight? You're good. Okay, I want to make sure on that. Brother, there you go. You heard what he said. Don't worry about it. Okay, good. All right, just making sure on that. Okay. Just a couple things I want to say. Since last time I was here, I preached on missions. And I asked the pastor before I preached tonight. The Lord's led me in a different direction, so I wanted to get his permission first to preach different than on missions. But I looked at the calendar on your website, and I preached on Isaiah chapter 6 when I was here last time about there's a vision for us to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and so forth. So... But tonight, I did want to just give a shout out to Pastor Craig Bennett. my dear, dear friend, him and Miss Margaret. They're a blessing to us, and they're there in Georgia, and it was a blessing. We got to be with him a couple months ago before I left there. We sold our house, and so now we've got no ties left here as far as ties, as far as a house goes, and everything is all gone. And however, I am officially going to be a grandpa October 22nd, and my first grandson. And I had never heard of a gender reveal party before. My son called me and said, "Dad, we're going to invite you to a gender reveal." I said, "Son, it's going to be a boy or a girl. I'm just going to tell you right now. There's no problem with the gender." And I didn't know what he meant. Now I've been to one, I know it's okay. Amen. It's a surprise about what it is going to be. Because, you know, nowadays you just don't know what's going on. Amen. Pray for our military, too. Our president just came out and said that the transgender is not going to be allowed in the military. It came out a week and a half ago, said that. And pray that our military will get back to its roots and be back there, not be a social experiment as far as that goes for our country. And just pray that God will work that out. I'm very thankful for the new Secretary of Defense we have now, that he's trying his best to keep things going in order there. So thank God for that. And we are going back overseas. I just got back from a brand new church plant in the United Kingdom I was telling your pastor about. And they've got about 70 people that are coming to the church, and they have no pastor at all. And so we're praying about how God's going to work that out. There's nothing definite on the plate, but I was there for 8 days preaching for them, talking with them, and we're just praying and seeing how God leads on that. So we could be going real soon as far as over there. So just pray that God will work that out for us and everything. And my little girl, I only have one daughter, Kaylee, and she's in Bible college, and that's everywhere I go, I have a picture of me and her in my Bible, amen? And I always look at it every now and then, and every now and then I take a photo shot and send it to her on the phone and let her know I'm thinking about her and so forth. But if you got your children with you, thank God for that, amen? And I thank God for our children who are still serving the Lord. Our fourth one will graduate from Bible college this coming June or May. Praise God. Four of them through, amen. And little girl, she's going to Bible college, but she's supposed to get married and have babies. That's what she wants to do, amen. But anyway, isn't that funny? Amen. Not, she don't want a career, which I get all that, but, you know, just pray for God to give her wisdom and me wisdom to say yes or no to the God. And I got a shotgun, M16, M203, M60. I got it all, amen. So, but before I preach tonight, though, I've been here before. Anybody got any questions for me before I open the Bible? Yes, sir. It is. Mm-hmm. It is. I was called to preach in Bentwaters, 1984. Huxbridge, okay. Good. So you know you've heard of Alconbury, Chick Sands, and all that stuff. Yeah, your pastor. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So when I was there for 8 days, I had fish and chips twice. But it's changed, brother. It's changed. I'll tell you what they did. It really made me upset about it. They no longer allow you to use newspaper and the ink in the fish and chips. It did? That made me so upset, man. I like the ink and the fish and the cod, and it's just all good. They say, well, it wasn't good for you. Now, I know some of you are probably saying, ooh, yuck. But when you get that hot grease and that cod from the North Sea and they fix it and put it in that paper, it just tastes good. Wasn't it awesome?
It was very good.
See, very good. See, I'm not lying to you. Amen. You know? So, okay. Yeah, it is in Milton Hall. That's where we're praying about going, if that's what the Lord wants. Yes, ma'am. I was in Ellenwood, Georgia, south of Atlanta, about 20 miles, honey, 15, 20 miles from Atlanta. And we had a bus ministry bringing in about 180 kids in the inner cities, bringing in there. And Pastor Bennett was where he was in Jonesboro, where he's at. So he would get that side, we would get the other side. We crisscross sometimes, you know. And one thing about Pastor Bennett, hey, the world is your mission field, amen. You can go anywhere you can go. There is no lines. His kids would come to our Bible school, our kids would go to his Bible, whatever like that, you know. And just had a great time, you know what I'm saying? So as far as that goes, okay? Good question. Anybody else got a question for me before I preach tonight? I wanted to give you an opportunity to, okay, anybody else? All right. Well, open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 10, please. I don't know why the Lord brought this thought to my mind to preach this message here tonight, but I'm just going to mind the Lord. And I thank your pastor and his dear wife. And we go back many, many years back there. And those Fritz stands and those, yeah, that fricadeil. Remember the fricadeil, Pastor? The fricadeil was, I think it was a long horse meat, whatever. It was real good, man. I know you all think horse meat, but it was good. You know, they fry, anything fried is good, amen? Fried chicken, fried okra, amen? Just come on down the road out there, you see, you know? I'm getting hungry, Pastor, right now. Watch it. Karma's laughing at me. Okay. So, but and I tell you, I just like going to churches where I know people. Now, a lot of times I go to churches, I don't know a single person, amen? And it's a blessing. So when I go to some places and it might be hostile territory where I don't know anybody, I'll bring out my little girl's picture, amen? So I'll put it right there when I'm preaching this. I know I got somebody here with me, amen? You know, the Lord's there. We know the Lord's there, amen? You know, you heard the little story about the little girl came downstairs and she was scared of the rain and thunder. It was real bad out and everything. She came downstairs and her mom took her back up to bed and everything, you know. And then finally she came back down again and she was real nervous and scared. And finally her daddy took her back upstairs and said, honey, it's okay. You can stay here in the room. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. And the little girl said, well, Jesus may be with you. But she said, I want someone I can touch. Amen. Oh, come on right there, amen. When a little girl says something like that, you know. But anyhow, tonight we're going to go in a different way. So open your Bibles to chapter number 10 in the book of Mark. If you find your place, look at verse number 46, please. Verse 46. And let's all stand, if you're able, to the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 46. Thank you again, Pastor, for your kindness. Let us come by your way again. We don't take it lightly at all for that. Verse 46. The Bible says, and they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. God willing, I'm going to preach on this thought tonight, how to get out of a rut.
That's good.
How to get out of a rut. I don't know about you, but sometimes we get in rut sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
And we get involved doing the same routine day in and day out. And if we're not careful, life becomes mundane and it becomes just ordinary.
Yeah.
And so forth. So with that thought, we're going to preach on how to get out of a rut. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless the reading of thy word. Thank you for the Bible. Again, thank you for Shining Light Baptist Church. And thank you for their many years being a partner with us overseas. And as we go back again, I pray, Lord, that you'll just have your own way and give us a good service tonight. We ask this now in Jesus' name, Lord, and amen. You may be seated, please, and thank you for standing for the reading of God's word.
Yes, sir.
Now we see here in this chapter of the book of Mark, these several verses here, we come across the man of blind Bartimaeus sitting by the highway side begging. And Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, it means unclean, concealed, private, attend, or wait on. This man had to have someone wait on him because he was blind. He couldn't get around by himself. So his name kind of goes along with what he was doing. He was a blind, a beggar, bound by his handicap, placed by someone on the side of the road near a ditch. So there he was, someone placed him there, blind, a beggar, and bound by his handicap. You know, by the way, I want to tell you, sin binds us, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Whether you're saved or lost, sin, if you're not careful, it can wreck and ruin your life. And you have to be careful. All, and that, I like your theme this year. Having done all to stand, therefore, that talks about Ephesians chapter 6, about the warfare and about what we got to do as far as being a good soldier of Jesus Christ and so forth, you know. And so this idea of how to get out of a rut, a fixed or established way of acting, a routine, same old life day in and day out, a rut. A rut could also mean a track that has been made by the same wheel many times, going over. When I was a little boy growing up in West Virginia, we used to have old trails where horses would go down there. They had cows there and so forth and everything. And they would make a path, and there would be a rut there. And especially when it rained and them horses and cows and everything, it would make a big old problem as far as that goes and everything, you know. And when I grew up, we had dirt roads in West Virginia. We did not have paved roads. I remember when my dad changed the oil, and when all the neighbors changed the oil, they would take the old oil and pour it on the dirt road in the summertime to keep the dust down. Speaking of dust, I was coming over here from Colorado, there in New Mexico. There is a lot of dust storms. They got it all on the side of the road, signs. If you come to a dust storm, keep on going slow. Don't stop, because the person behind you might hit you. You know, but dust storms. When I grew up, if you put oil on the road today, they put you in jail probably. I mean, you know, but growing up in West Virginia, they didn't do that. I mean, everyone did it to keep the dust down and so forth. So a rut, it could be a fixed hole where something goes over and over and over again, or it could be just doing mundane things and your life. And if you're not careful, God didn't save us to be in a rut. But there are times as Christians that we find ourselves in a rut. God doesn't promise a rut to the believer. 1 John 5:4 says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." 1 John 5:4. Then Romans 8:37 says this, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So there's not a problem in this world that God can't help us overcome. If you're in a rut, if your life is mundane, God doesn't want you to be there. He wants you to live every day as a new day. I was preaching at the church this morning over there at Sunrise Baptist Church, and there was a man, there was a greeter there, Pastor, in the front of the church, and he was doing this. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm just happy to be here." He was the greeter, shaking hands, welcoming people into the church. He was just happy. He was going up and down. So that man ain't in a rut. He's just happy to be anywhere. He said, "At my age, I'm happy to be anywhere," he said. You know, so as far as that goes, you know. And so let me give you some thoughts here from this passage of Scripture of how to get out of a rut. Number one, I want you to see here, get where God is. Look at verse number 47. Get where God is. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" You know what? That man, he got where God is. When he heard that Jesus, he couldn't see Jesus, but when he heard about it, and no doubt the fame of Jesus was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Whenever he would do miracles and everything, a lot of folks followed Jesus because of the miracles that he did, and they got fed. You know what I'm saying? They didn't follow him because of his teaching and he could help them spiritually so much. But this man, he heard that it was Jesus, and he wanted to get where Jesus was us. So if you're in a rut tonight, hey, the best thing you can do is get where God is. Amen? Wherever God is, get there. Find out where he's at and get where he's at. I think of a church here, maybe your church tonight, here at Shining Light, where a preacher believes in the power of God and he wants God to bless this place and so forth. Nowadays, it's important, you know, I think here about standing. You know, a lot of people are falling or wavering or compromising. Amen? I think that we as preachers, independent Baptist preachers, we need to stand for what's right. Now, I don't think we need to be mean-spirited about it. We don't need to be unkind. But we can be firm and be kind at the same time. In a way, we can say, "Hey, this is what God says, and I'm..." One guy said to me, "Can you explain yourself to me?" I said, "Sure. I am joyfully conservative." Amen? I'm happy in being what I am. Amen? You know? I might say... And the Bible says, "Be not grievous." You know, God's commandments are not grievous. They're not meant to make us sad. When you do what God says, it makes you happy. Amen? You see what I'm saying? You know? So this man, in order to get out of the rut he was in, He wanted to get where God was at. And let me encourage you all and us, all of us, get where God is. If you're in a rut and your life's mundane, get close to God. God says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. Or that's what he says. So get where God is, okay? How about not only the church and everything, but how about your companions? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And God help us. We are living in a day that people are getting advice from everybody else that, you know what, God has ordained the local New Testament church. And if you go to church every week and you're going through some problems, don't call Dr. Ruth, Dr. Phil, or any other doctor, amen? Come to your church, amen, and ask your pastor to pray with you and help you. That's what God, that's what they're there for. And you know, as far as that goes, Pastor, can I get some water? I got a frog in my throat. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it very much. You know, and so a lot of times we don't understand all that when it comes down to it, is that people have problems. But God has given the solution for that. And I don't know if anybody don't have no problems. This man was born blind. Okay? Blind Bartimaeus. But what did he do? He's in a rut. He said, you know, I'm going to get where God is. If you're in a rut tonight, get where God is. Number one. Number two. Oh, here we go. Ignore the crowd. Look at verse 40. Look at verse 48. And many charged him that he should what? Hold his peace. The crowd said, hey. The crowd, they could see, they could hear. They had no problems. This man was blind on the side of the road begging, and they said, shh, don't bother him. But you know something? It don't bother the Lord for people to come to him that got problems. Amen? Thank you very much, brother. Jesus likes it when you have a problem to come to him. That's what he specializes in, amen? He can make the things that seem to be impossible, he can make them possible again, you know? And so many times, over and over again, I can see that God is able to answer prayers and take care of our problems and so forth. What a blessing on that. And as I resigned my church and went back into full-time being in missions and so forth, you know, I've seen God work and move. And by the way, I want to say something real quick. When I left my church, there was no problems at my church. Amen. They did not want me to leave. That's a good time to leave when they don't want you to leave, amen? There are times when they want you to leave, amen? But hey, they did not want. Our church was doing good. People were getting saved. We had a great ministry. But God said, I want you to go back in the missions and reach the military again, you know, which I love the military. Amen. I love what I did over there for 21 years and so forth. Now we're going back. I can't wait to get to the place where God gives me PCS orders. Amen. Permanent change of station. Amen. You know, get where I need to go to. But hey, the crowd told him, don't bother him. And by the way, if someone tells you, when you got a problem, well, don't bother the church or don't bother the pastor or don't bother the Lord, that's wrong advice, amen? The church and the pastor, that's what they're there for, amen? And by the way, it's not the pastor. I don't have the ability to help you. Your pastor don't, but we know the man who can, amen? And his name is Jesus, amen? He has the ability to help you. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, and how to get out of a rut, get where God is, ignore the crowd. Ignore what they say. They say has got a lot of people in a rut. Amen. Look at verse number 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They say. Hey, when you hear people they say, don't worry what they say. Find out what he say. Amen. Find what God says. That's what you need to find out, you know. And by the way, the Bible has a solution for our answer. Sometimes. The other day I was reading in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is charity is patient and bond enough, not puffed up, not easily provoked. That's a hard chapter to read, amen. You know, the Bible sometimes, if you let it, God's word will speak to you. You know? And that's why, and this is a living book, amen. And it's a relevant book, amen. It's up to date. It don't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread, amen. You know what I'm saying? Amen on that. Amen. So you know, it comes down to that and so forth, man. I appreciate you, brother. Keep on going over there. Get me hot. Get me rolling, amen. So, ignore what they say. Ignore what they do. More young Christians have been sidelined by the actions and attitudes of church members. Now, I've been in church since 1976. I was 12 years old when I got saved.
Do you think that I have been around people sometimes in the church that maybe hurt my feelings or said things and so forth? Yes, I have. And maybe I hurt someone else's feelings, you know? However, I want to say to you, I'm not there for people. I'm there for Jesus, amen? And he's never let me down, never will let me down. And because of that, I serve him still today. He's worthy of our service, amen? Why? Hey, he saved me. One day he's coming back for me. You know what I'm saying? You know? Thank God he's on the right hand of God praying for me. You know what I'm saying? You know? And so, hey, in order to get out of a rut, get where God is, ignore the crowd. Ignore what they say, ignore what they do, and practice what the book says, not the crowd. Amen? You know? Find out what God wants you to do. You know? When our teenage children, we didn't sow no wild oats. We sowed good oats. Amen? You know? And I taught my children in the way and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen? Now, I wasn't perfect, and now that they're getting older, getting their own families and so forth, they say, Dad, I said, I know. Dad, Mom didn't always do perfectly, but we strive to raise you the best we could. Amen? You know? Yes. And so, how to get out of a rut? Number one, get where God is. Number two, ignore the crowd. Number three, don't take no for an answer. Look at verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the what? More. Hey, Jesus! I mean, when they told him to be quiet, you know what he did? He started screaming more, amen? Because he knew the one that was coming by that way had the power and the ability to help him get out of his rut, amen? Hey, when they say, shh, hey, let me tell you, don't take no for an answer. God does answer prayer. When the devil says stop praying, just pray on, amen? All right? God is in control. When it looks like everything is in reverse, just pray on. You see, prayer moves the hand that controls the universe, amen? And I've seen God answer prayers, how God meets the needs. Just this last week, I was supposed to be in Fort Huachuca area, Sierra Vista. There's a church over there called Mountain Vista Baptist Church. Pastor Holmes, and he had scheduled for me to preach this morning, but he had a heart attack 4 years ago. And I met him back in 3 or 4 months ago. I came through here, and he lost all his short-term memory and so forth. So he scheduled me to be with him this morning. But it got so bad, his health got so bad, he had to resign. So I said, Lord, how in the world am I going to find a church to go to? Because they had a new pastor. I don't know the new pastor. And I would not go there because him being a new preacher, he needs to preach, amen, for at least a year or two to get used to his people, whatever, on that. So I did not want to put that burden on him and so forth and everything. So I prayed, and then I called Pastor Stoppelbean, and we had some miscommunication back and forth. And anyhow, we were driving from Colorado over here, and I was praying, said, Lord, what are we going to do? I didn't know it. My phone would not work for several hours in Colorado. There was no signal, no towers, nowhere. In fact, my wife said she didn't see a McDonald's for 7 hours and 45 minutes. No McDonald's, amen? You know? And so it was just like, wow. So finally, I didn't know it. I was praying that. And when I got to signal, I had time to text to Pastor Stoppelbean, said, can you call me? We didn't know it. He had already called me 3 hours before, left the voicemail on the phone, saying that he wanted me to preach for him this morning, and it would be just fine, amen? God already had the answer, amen? I'm just trying to say to you, when you got problems in your life, you can call on God and talk to God, and he'll answer your prayers. This man, the crowd told him, shh, but he wanted to get out of a rut. So you know what he did? Don't take no for an answer. Keep on praying, amen? Satan is a liar. When Satan thunders and roars, good sign that the answer's on the way, amen? You know? I'm just trying to say to you that when you get out of a rut here, don't take no for it. Keep on praying. What was that lady in the Bible? She went to that judge and she would not stop because of her importunity, the Bible says. She kept on and on and on and on, amen? You know? Ask and you should be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock. And it gives the idea of a continual process there. Seeking, knocking, asking, continually and so forth, you know, as far as that goes. You know? It reminds me when I go to Dairy Queen or an ice cream place, I tell them to shove it down in there more and more. Amen. I don't want no air pockets in my ice cream. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I want to get a full thing. Amen. You know, especially Baskin Robbins. Praise God. It's expensive ice cream. Amen. You know, you don't want no air pockets in that bucket. Amen. You know. So anyhow, how to get out of a rut, Brother White? You laughing back there, brother? I appreciate it, brother. Amen. You know, how to get out of a rut? Get where God is. Ignore the crowd. Don't take no for answer. But number four. Be obedient to every command in the Bible. Be obedient, best you can. Look at verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth to thee. Hey, this man, Jesus stopped and he stood still. And by the way, when Jesus stands still, isn't that a blessing? He was calling this man to himself, amen? Come on here, and he was a blessing on that. Mark it down. He never calls you to himself from something without it being a blessing to you. This man, Jesus stood still. He said, come over here. So he called him from where he was at. He was blind. He was a beggar. He was in bondage. He had to have someone else put him there and so forth. He called him to himself. And when he called him to himself, there was going to be a blessing awaiting him. Jesus was going to help him, you know. And by the way, when Jesus calls you, and you know when he speaks to your heart, you know when God's speaking to you. He speaks through his word. He speaks through preaching. He speaks through the Holy Ghost speaks to you. I mean, even a special or a testimony. God can use those things. God is speaking today. Now, some folks say, well, I haven't heard God. You've not been listening. You know what I'm saying? God still calls people into ministry. God still wants young people to serve him and put him first in their life. God wants that. You know? So, hey, Mark, God never asked to give up something, to go somewhere, to do something that is not for our benefit and God's glory. Amen. So, hey, I'm just trying to say to you, hey, this man, he when God told him to come, he came. And by the way, aren't you glad that, how come the wind obeys God immediately? The animals obey God immediately, but mankind, we don't always obey God immediately. Amen. God help us on that. To put, hey, put God first. God don't want to be second fiddle. God don't want leftovers. Now, the only time, by the way, talk about leftovers. The only time I like leftovers is Thanksgiving. The next day, my wife makes a turkey and all the fixings on Thanksgiving Day. But Brother White, on Friday, on Thanksgiving week, she makes turkey hash. You all had that before? You know, oh, praise God. Turkey hash is almost better than a turkey on Thursday, amen? It's so good, amen? Anyhow. So, Hey, mark it down here. How to get out of a rut, okay? Hey, get where God is. Ignore the crowd. Don't take no for an answer. Be obedient to every command. Number five, come clean with God. Look at verse 50 for you. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Hey, the garment represents the old life, the old way, the old sin. You can't drag the old life with you if you're going to him. Hey, so He cast his garment, whatever he, one man said this, I was reading, one man said, that's probably all that guy ever owned was the garment he had. So whatever he had, he left it and followed Jesus, amen. And boy, isn't it a blessing to see when God saves an individual. We had a man in our church, and please don't take this wrong, okay. He came to church, and he was, him and his wife were living together. No, they weren't married. They were living together. He came to church for several weeks. Came to my office as a preacher. Me and my girlfriend. Well, he said me and my wife. Well, I found out they weren't married. I said, well, she's not your wife. You know, you got to be married to be your wife, whatever. So finally, he said, we want to do what's right. I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what we'll do here. Is give you a couple weeks either to get married or get out of the house. If you really want to put God first in your life. Well, they got married a couple weeks. They've been together for 9 years. I said, what's holding you? I mean, 9 years. They had a baby together. Let's get it on, amen, you know. So he got married, started coming to church. He had a ponytail, 18 inches long. Yep, I know. Let me tell you something. I like it when people come in, they got problems. That means the church is doing something right. Because you come in as you are, but God won't leave you as you are. Amen. God demands a what? Change. It's all through the scriptures. what, about 6 months, Tom? I don't know how long it was. One day after services, he said, "Preacher, I was reading my Bible in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. And the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. What's that mean?" I said, "What do you think it means? What do you think it means?" Amen. I want the Bible to interpret the Bible. Amen. Interpret the Bible. He said, "What do you?" I said, "Well, what that means is exactly what you think it means." So the next service, you know what? God told him to cut it off. He cut it off. He was happy serving the Lord. Children in the choir. He's involved in the bus ministry. What a blessing he was. You see, sometimes if we're not careful, we want to change people. Amen.
Amen.
How about you when you got saved? Were you ready to go when you first got saved? No. You're a work in progress. Amen.
Amen.
He's still working on me. Amen. He is.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? To make me what I ought to be. You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is that, hey, come clean with God. This man rose up and left his garment. Amen. You know? Literally, Bartimaeus left all to follow Jesus. Peter left his boat. Levi left his business. Bartimaeus left his garment. And the demon-possessed man left the tombs. Amen. You know, all through the scriptures, people that come to Jesus, that God changes them. And I found out if God changes somebody, they ain't got no problem changing. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And someone said, "Preacher, what do you got to do to join the church? Be saved and scripturally baptized." Amen. If they want to join the choir, different set of rules there. Amen. You know. But as far as joining the church, very simple. Join the church. Amen. Make sure you're scripturally saved and scripturally baptized and get on the team. Amen. Get on. You know? But what I'm just trying to say is that this man left everything behind to follow the Lord. He left his garment. Let me encourage you that maybe you got something you're holding on to. In order to get out of that rut, let it go and let God have his way. Amen. You know what I'm saying? How to get out of a rut? Get where God is. Ignore the crowd. Don't take no for an answer. Be obedient to every command. Come clean with God. Number 6, believe the impossible. Look at verse 51. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Amen. Believe the impossible. That man probably never saw somebody before. He never even dreamed. But because he had heard of the fame and the testimony of the Lord Jesus, he said when he was given the opportunity, he believed the impossible. Look what he said in verse 51. He said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." The impossible. You can go to the doctors back in that day, and they can give you something, maybe some balm or something like that for a sore or something. Like that. Maybe you can set a bone, but there ain't nobody that can make you see again, amen, you know? If you're blind, my mother-in-law, I have a great mother-in-law, amen? She cooks real good and gives me no advice. Amen. Amen on that. Amen. You know. But speaking about her, she has to go have her cataracts removed pretty soon. All right. So in order for her to be able to see better and everything, you know. But they have. But back in that day, they didn't have cataract surgery. Amen. You're blind. You're blind. Amen. And I've known my grandpa. He had cataracts back in 1977, and they didn't have much about that going on back in that day. So he had cataracts, but they couldn't take him off his eyes. So he was literally blind because he had cataracts. Wasn't that because blind, he couldn't see, but the cataracts put a film over his eyes, I guess what it is, and everything, so he couldn't see. And so this man here, he believed the impossible. If you're in a rut tonight, believe God for the impossible. He can get you out of that rut. He can help you with that, okay? You know, that's what that man did. He believed the impossible. His condition. Look at this here now. Bartimaeus had great faith. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." His condition was against him. The crowd was against him. The circumstances was against him. Everything was against this man. The crowd, his condition, his circumstances, everything was against him. But Bartimaeus displayed great faith. Like Abraham in Romans 4:18 says, "Who against hope believed in hope." Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, when it all looks bleak and around you, you don't know what's going to happen. I say, believe what Jesus says. Amen. You know, I thank God for the promises of the Word of God. Amen. God's Word helps me today. You know, and when I read the Bible, I've read it through, plowed through it several times in my lifetime. But every time I read it, I try to say, Lord, I already know the story. When I'm getting ready to read it, I said, God, please help me just read it for the very first time again. But then I get so excited, I go to the end of the story and read it again. And you know, say, you know what I mean? You know, it's. I'm just saying, you know, when the Bible is great, and you know, there's so many things in here, and that's why I'm glad it's so relevant for our time, day and time, when it comes down to it. Okay, you know. So this man, he had great faith. Okay, like Abraham, situations may look hopeless. Humanly speaking, Bartimaeus' case was just flat out hopeless. But his faith was in God's promises and God's power. Amen. That's what happened. Faith brings us into God's favor, God's family, and God's fortune. Amen. Faith can do that, you know. And so, and by the way, it's not a blind faith. It's a faith in God's word. Amen. God's promises and God's blessings and God's provisions and God's protection. It's amazing how God takes care of us. You know, how to get out of a rut. Amen. Believe the impossible. And then, lastly tonight, live a life of gratitude. Be grateful. And I know sometimes, if you're like me sometimes, life does, if we're not careful, and I'm just being honest tonight, sometimes it's not always easy. I understand that. But at the same time, I want to say to you is I like having a place where there's no stress. Now, if you have a family, you're going to have stress. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you got people around you, you're going to have some stress around you. It's going to be there. But I tell you, I was raised in a family. I was raised in a dysfunctional family when I was a little boy. My mom was married 3 times. My stepfather was married 5 times. We had, my stepfather had 15 kids, 5 marriages. And so growing up, the sheriff knew my dad personally. Not always a good way, by the way, you know, and so forth. So I knew what I did not want to have as a family. I wanted my children to have the same mom and dad their whole life. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You know? And I'm glad Tonda, when we got married, we both did our we wanted to make sure that we were going to be there for them their whole life. Amen. You know what I'm saying? She had that goal, I had that goal. Okay? All right. In verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, it's in the scriptures. When Jesus does something for you, the natural result is for you to follow him. You want to follow him. You want to be what he wants you to be. Children, young people, hey, give your life to Jesus. You know, 3 of my 5 children, 3 of my boys are called to preach, you know. And my 4th one wants to be a Christian businessman. You know, I'm just trying to say is, you know, we raised them in church. And they worked in the church. They cleaned the church. They rode the bus ministry. They sang in the choir. They sang. They did all those things, you know. But we made it as a family, and we served God together. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. Amen. And they never. It was never a question in my house on Sunday morning. Are we going to church? It was that, did we get to go to church today? Amen. In fact, when our children grew up, Pastor. Our children, when they got sick, they didn't want to miss church. Amen. We had to tell them, no, you can't go. You got chicken pox. You got to stay home, amen. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? But they wanted to go to church. You know what I'm saying? And see, and trying to be mom and dad in the church, be mom and dad at the commissary or at the PX, be mom and dad at the house, just be mom and dad everywhere we go, amen. And sometimes children, when they get older, walk away sometimes because there was a two-sided sometimes. Yeah. And one way they were in church, one way and the other. Now, we're not perfect. I'm not saying that. But we strive to do the right things. You know what I'm saying? We strive to do what God wanted us to do. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You know? And it's a blessing now when I was in church this morning and someone said, we know your boys. And I'm saying, uh-oh. Is it good or bad? Amen. But it was good, amen. Hallelujah, it was good, amen. You know, when I see them, I'm going to buy them a biscuit, amen. You see, thank you, boys, for being good when I wasn't around, amen. You know what I mean, you know? And let me tell you a story real quick about one of my boys.
before cell phones, my son had a camera and it made videos. Okay, now boys, don't do this because he got in trouble after the fact. But anyhow, in our house in Belgium, he videoed himself jumping off the roof, a flip, onto a trampoline with the basketball and dunked on the basketball hoop. I didn't know he did that. But 2 years later, I was looking through his camera, and there it was, right there on the video. I said, boy, come here. He forgot all about it. Did you do this? Well, they already know. If I ask a question as a daddy, normally I know what? I know the answer before I ask it, amen? You know? So, 2 years. He was 14. I caught it when he was 16. I busted his bottom, amen? No, I didn't. 2 years late, hey, thank God he was good to go, amen? You know what I'm saying, you know? But hey, be sure your sin will what? Find you out, amen? It was on video, amen? So there are some good things about people videoing each other as far as that goes. And I said, how in the world did he do that? You know? Then I found out his friend was a missionary's kid from Germany. He came there and he did it too, amen? So I don't know if it was a dare thing. I wasn't sure what it was. Amen. You know, I didn't know what was going on. Amen. You know, kids are going to be kids. You know that. I know that. And that was just a childish thing he should have done. But he didn't. Hey, he wasn't drinking, wasn't smoking, wasn't chewing. He wasn't cussing. Amen. Amen. You know. And I said, don't do that again, boy. I won't, Dad. You know, and as far as I know, well, I might find another video. I don't know. But right now, I think he's good to go. Amen. Of course, he's 21 years old now, so it's different now. Amen. You know. But live a life of gratitude. Notice Barnabas' action, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Reasons so many are in a rut, they've been grumbling instead of praising God. Amen. This man immediately, when he followed Jesus in the way. You know, God made a difference in his life. You know, have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Be thankful to get out of it. Ask God to help you to get out of a rut, you know? And, Tana and I both, through our married life, have said to each other, we don't want to exist together. We want to live together, you know? We want to be, and it takes work because sometimes, you know, I may get off on the wrong side of the bed, amen? I may fall off the bed, amen, or whatever. So things don't always go my way. I understand that. Some of you are laughing, but maybe you've done that. I don't know, you know. What I'm just trying to say is, hey, let's not stay in a rut. Ask God to help us to get out of it. Let me go over the thoughts for one more time here. Get where God is. How to get out of a rut. Get where God is. Ignore the crowd. Don't take no for an answer. Be obedient to every command. Come clean with God. Leave your garments behind, your old life behind. Believe the impossible. Live a life of gratitude, amen? You know, too many of God's children are just down in the dumps. And that's not where God wants you to be at, amen? Right. You know, God, hey, what I told you before, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, 1 John 5:4, and Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us, amen? Let me encourage all of us, hey, don't live in a rut. Get out of the rut. Ask God to help you. If you're here tonight and you're in a rut right now, you're going through some problems right now and so forth, hey, God is the problem solver, amen? You've come to the right place. The church is a hospital for souls, amen? Jesus can help you. Jesus can change your life, amen? You know, I've never met no one. When Jesus was walking on earth, he'd go into towns. I would hate to be an undertaker when he came through towns. Because the undertaker had to give a refund, amen? Because he would be the undertaker, amen? Lazarus, he had to call him back, amen? You know what I'm saying? Jairus' daughter, bring her back, amen? You know, that's what he did. I'm just trying to say is that, and I want to be optimistic, Pastor. You know, I believe that God can provide a table in the wilderness, amen? I believe he can do that. Now, he may not do it, but I believe he can, amen? You know, and I want to live a life of be optimistic about my life. Let me encourage you. If you're here tonight and you're living in a rut, hey, God wants you to get out of that rut. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Please, every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. The pianist comes forward tonight. I hope and pray God has spoken to your heart about a need or a care in your life tonight. If you're here tonight, not sure you're saved.
Maybe you got a problem in your life. I don't know. Whatever you need tonight is, you come to the right place. Amen. Let God have his way in your life. As every head bowed, every eye closed, and the piano's playing softly tonight. Maybe you'll say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved tonight." If that's you tonight, just raise your hand. I won't embarrass you. We'll just pray for you. "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure about that. Pray for me." Anybody at all? "Preacher, pray for me." How about that? Anybody? How about a child of God? Would you be honest with God tonight? Are you in a rut in your life, spiritually speaking? Are you in a rut? Hey, I preach tonight on how to get out of a rut. Amen. Believe God for the impossible. Let God have his way in your life. Let go of it. Bartimaeus, he left his garments and he came to Jesus. Whatever your need is tonight, let me encourage you to have God to have his way in your life. Our Heavenly Father, as the piano plays softly, we want to come before you in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Lord, we pray tonight you'll take this message now and use it for your honor and for your glory. We ask this now in Jesus' name. If God spoke into your heart, the altar is open. Would you come and pray and talk to the Lord? How to get out of a rut? Would you come? Let God have his way in your life tonight. People are already coming. Would you come? Don't look around what somebody else is doing. If God spoke into your heart, would you come and pray? Let God have his way in your life. God's a good God. Amen. God can change your life. God can save you and make you whole again. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus is a testimony of that. God can change your life. How about a young person, teenager? Give your life to God. Amen. Make it count. Pastor, you come, Pastor.
My head's bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around, Christians are praying. I'm not sure where you're at, but I do know this, sometimes we do get in ruts. Or maybe your rut is in your Bible reading life. You're just going through the reading, not really retaining or getting a blessing. Maybe it's in your prayer life. You're in a rut in the prayer life. Maybe it's in your soul winning life, not to sharing the gospel with anyone, just kind of existing, not giving out a track. Perhaps it's in your forgiving life. Maybe you're not as forgiving as you should, still holding on to things. Perhaps it's in your bitterness life, still bitter about some things. Or perhaps it's with your children. Parenting is not what it needs to be. Just in a rut. Just saying, well, it's not worth the time. I don't have time to parent. Don't have a time to be what I need to be for my children. Perhaps you're in a rut when it comes to your parents. I'm not as thankful, as grateful to my parents as I ought to be. Not talking to my parents and sharing with my parents like I ought to. Not doing what I should for my parents. What is it tonight? You're in that rut. How to get out of a rut. Blind Bartimaeus said, "I don't want to be blind anymore. I don't want to continue going as I'm going. I want to have a change of course." He cried out. They said, you know, "Leave the master alone." He cried more. Maybe you need to cry a little bit more. Pray a little bit more. "Lord, get me out of this rut. Lord, get me out of this situation. I don't want to be what I used to be. I want to be what you want me to be." You know, we take this church for granted a lot of times when we come out of a rut, out of a routine. I'm just coming to church. But perhaps you ought to ask yourself, "God, send me to church so I may give and not just try to get through it. I may give back to the Lord and give back to the house of God and not be a burden, but be a blessing. I'm going to church to receive a blessing, but to be a blessing. Get out of that rut. I'm going to church just because I know it's right to do. Get out of that rut. I want to pray just because it's right to do. Get out of that rut. Be expectant in your praying. It's like blind man Bartimaeus. He was expectant. You know, if we're honest, we all get into that rut. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, it's a rut. This is what we do. But you know, when you expect God to work, when you expect God to do something, when you expect to get something out of it, Oh, it makes a big difference. When you expect to see someone that you invited to show up, you expect to see one, someone get saved that you talk to, oh, it makes a big difference. How to get out of a rut. Blind man Bartimaeus got the cure. Well, Father, thank you for the example in blind man Bartimaeus' life, how he was insistent and persistent, although some tried to shoo him away. He had to ignore the crowd. And Lord, sometimes we'll have to ignore even ourselves and go forward and do what you're calling us to do to get out of that rut. Lord, if we're honest, sometimes we like that rut. We like that routine. We like that mundaneness. And we're afraid of change because change may cost us something. It cost blind man Bartimaeus blindness so that he might have sight. Oh, God, would you work in our lives as well? Help us to get out of the mundane, the routine, and the rut. Get into the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and cry aloud, cry afresh, and say, Lord, do something special in my life. Get me out of the routine of reading my Bible. Show me something different. Get me out of the routine of not witnessing. Allow me to speak to someone different. Get me out of the routine of just the rote prayer. And Lord, help me to pray and cry for something impossible. And Lord, do with my life what seems impossible, that I can get out of the rut that I may be in, whatever rut it may be, and do what you've called me to do. Lord, bless now Brother Pinson and Tonda as they seek to follow your leadership and go where you would have them to go. And Lord, as they go, may we that are left behind continue to support them. And Lord, pray for them and encourage them. And then, Lord, not be in a rut, but be changed by the glory of God. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the message. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike, for the encouragement. Give you and Tonda a chance to get back to the back there. And you can shake hands. And I know several folks probably have never met Tonda, like to meet her. Amen. And get some homeschooling tips and get some other tips on how you put kids in Bible college. Amen. Debt free. No. Amen. Pastor Wise got our closing announcements. Don't forget, next week we'll be here. Wednesday we'll be here. Amen. You come out, get out of the rut, amen, and come out to be a blessing, amen, and receive a blessing. Pastor White has our closing.